today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, have status with a hotel chain or airline and hoping for an upgrade? Well, those decisions are increasingly being made by AI. And the cost of coming to the United States for a visit keeps going up. Those stories next in the travel news.
Imagine you're on a long flight and your seatmate has fallen asleep and his head is now on your shoulder. Or someone is watching a noisy video without headphones on the plane. How do you handle those and other situations? Details in our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:25.
Travelers United is probably the best advocate for all of us. Charlie Leoka, the executive director, joins us at 11:35 to talk about flyers' rights and more conversation that will make you a smarter traveler.
In our odds and ends portion of the program at 11:50, Mark points out why the advertised price that you're quoted by the rental car company is probably nothing close to what you will pay.
It's the middle of the summer, and people are moving everywhere. This is the place that gives you the tips to help you avoid some of the hassle. Welcome to The Travel Guys.
On the road again.
My friends, welcome to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget now, links to our special guests and so much more to make you a smarter traveler, as I always say, can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Mark, you had one heck of a week, and especially the last couple of days, getting home from scouting out a sports leisure trip. Why don't you share that with us? Make us smarter travelers.
By now, most of our listeners have probably heard that United Airlines had some difficulties on Wednesday evening. And they had a computer failure. And it caused, I happened to be flying United that day. When we landed in Denver from, I can't tell you where I came from because we were out doing scouting a mystery tour, and somebody listening to this program will be on that trip. But we came from a destination, landed in Denver, and I knew we were in trouble because when we landed and we started taxiing in, I commented to Tyler. I said, there's probably a dozen planes parked, and it doesn't look like any gates are open at all.
Oh, my.
Something is not – because when you come in at the beginning, we were about 20 minutes early. So when you're on the front end of a bank of airplanes like that, most of the gates should be empty because all the people have left, and now the new planes are coming in, and an hour later they'll turn around and go back out. So sure enough, we pulled up into an area what we call timeout, and meaning that you don't get to go to your gate. And then the pilot explained what had happened and that there was a nationwide shutdown. It was only affecting United, but – there we were, stuck on the tarmac for about 2.5 hours. I want to mention something here. Maybe we'll talk to Charlie about this when he appears with us later on. But there was a rule that Travelers United helped get passed a few years ago, a tarmac rule, that said that if you were on the tarmac for longer than 3 hours, that the airline was then subject to some penalties for each passenger. Mm-hmm. So we're on the tarmac the other night. We had a little medical situation on our plane. And our pilot was kind of fighting for us to get a gate, and he came on and he said, look, it's been about 2.5 hours. And he said, they're going to bring air stairs out so that we can get off the airplane. He said, because they're going to prioritize they're towing aircraft away from gates, and they're going to prioritize the open gates for people who have been here upwards of 3 hours. And I thought to myself, you know what?
Yeah.
Charlie's rule had some impact.
Yeah.
Because why were they concerned about the three-hour mark? Because that's when their liability set in for a problem that was strictly United's fault. So now there's an urgency. Let's get these people off the plane. There was no urgency at 1 hour or at 2 hours, but at 3 hours there became an urgency. We finally got a gate and got off right about at the three-hour mark. The United people did the best they could. It was a miserable situation. Here's the big problem when something like that happens. Aircraft piled up on the tarmac. So now all these pilots and flight crews are working, technically. So by the time they get to the gate, they've only got so much work time left. They don't have enough time to fly, to unload a plane, load a plane, and fly to the next destination. And that's indeed what happened to the last two Sacramento flights on Wednesday night. One was canceled about 10 o'clock, the one that was due to leave at 7:30, and one was canceled about 2 o'clock in the morning. That was the one scheduled to leave at 9 o'clock because they just either couldn't find a crew or didn't have a crew that had enough time. And then they ran out of hotels, of course, around the Denver airport. And United didn't issue any meal vouchers, so shame on them because the restaurants in the airport stayed open. So United did the best they could, I thought. I give them a C for how they handled things. It wasn't spectacular, but it wasn't catastrophic.
Wow. 2.5 hours just sitting on the tarmac waiting to get off your plane after another flight. I would find that painful. And like you say, that's why they set the rule. And thank you again, Charlie. 3 hours and you get compensated. That had been a tough go for you and Tyler.
Well, and there were about 70 planes involved. So let's assume, and it didn't impact the express flights, only the mainline flights. So let's assume 150 passengers per plane. So that's about 10,000 people who are sitting on the tarmac waiting to get into. So, you know, at least airline planes have restrooms and, you know, we had air circulating and nobody died. Mm-hmm. But I will point out this happened to Alaska only a few weeks before a similar type of outage. This had to do with weight and balance on the aircraft with United. So they couldn't get that information and that paperwork, so they couldn't make aircraft airborne. So as flights came in, they just had to sit. And, of course, they ultimately held flights at departing airports when they didn't know what was going to happen. It cleared up, but it cleared up slowly. And we bailed and took a 5 a.m. flight on Southwest the next morning and then hoped our baggage would show up, which indeed United did have our bags a few hours later.
You know, another reason to not be taking those last couple of flights out if you don't have to. But, you know, you don't always have those kind of choices.
But if you're flying cross country, depending on which direction you're going, you know, and what time you start your journey, then yes. But you make an excellent point. That really is an excellent point. When our tours depart Sacramento, we try to leave on the earliest possible flight. And sometimes that means getting up in the middle of the night and going to the airport. But, you know, you fly when the planes fly. But when you fly on a flight that's the first one out in the morning and you're connecting, your connections are going to be the first connections of the day. So all the other flights that are coming in have either only had one flight or that plane has been sitting on the ground until you get there. So, yes, flying earlier in the day, I absolutely recommend because there is less delays and less hassle. Listen, our company has run into four, if you count this one, which we didn't have a group, but the three others involved groups, and they all involved afternoon departures. None of them involved morning departures.
We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, and at the top of every Travel Guy show, somewhere along the beginning, we do the travel news, and with today's latest update of what's going on in the travel news, once again, Mark, what do you have?
Well, one thing that people do who travel internationally, they love to collect passport stamps. They love to have, you know, open up their passport, and they've got all these stamps from all these places that they went to, and oftentimes the date is included as part of the stamp. 29 European countries are using new biometric and digital border systems, and starting October 12th, many EU countries will no longer issue passport stamps.
That's sad.
Seems like a little thing, but it's going to disappoint just a few people, I think.
Yeah.
Facial recognition. We're going to talk. Remember that. That subject's going to come up again in a little bit. Trump administration could charge some travelers up to $15,000 under new pilot program. Just in time for the Olympics and the World Cup, the Trump administration has announced another steep new fee for would-be visitors. I'm quoting here. This is from Travel Trends. There's a $250 fee that was announced on top of existing visa fees. That was announced a couple weeks ago. This is $15,000 bond for some tourist and business visas coming from select countries. On the surface, to me, this seems to not be such a terrible idea. If you're coming from a place where people regularly overstay their visas or never show up to leave, then listen, we can't have people coming into the country indiscriminately and staying however long they like. But I'm not sure that creating all of these fees and the like, that the resulting publicity from that, negative publicity, is really going to hurt us. And we're off, let's call it 10% in international visitors this year. That probably doesn't mean a whole lot to Sacramento, but to Blaine, Washington, and Fargo, North Dakota, and places in Maine and Vermont, New Hampshire, stuff like that that are up close to the border, Michigan, those destinations are off by as much as a third, sometimes even more. So they're and their U.S. travelers are not replacing them in that number. So it's a problem. It's a problem for some of the people in our country that people from other countries are not coming, and we're sending them a signal that basically we don't want you here. On the other hand, if you're coming from a country where people regularly overstay their visas and don't play by the rules, then maybe this is a good idea. We will find out. The president has also signed an executive order to establish a White House task force for the 2028 Los Angeles Olympics. Includes the vice president and attorney general Pam Bondi. They will handle security, transportation, and other logistics. There is a new Visit California hub. If you know someone who travels who has a serious disability, Visit California has launched a new online hub for accessible travel resources. For those of us who are able-bodied, this probably doesn't mean anything. But if you are not one of a person who is an able-bodied traveler, or you travel with someone who isn't, no matter how large or small their disability might be, Visit California now has an online hub with tips and guidance for accessible travel across the state. It was launched on August the 5th. Like I said, this is not going to be important to a lot of people, but to the people that it's important to, it will be really important. VisitCalifornia.com is where you can find the link for disabled traveler services. Here's something kind of cool. Our very own Cindy Nichols. Cindy is the director of airports for Sacramento County. She's been elected to serve as vice chair of the Airports Council International for North America.
Well, congratulations to her.
And the reason this is significant is because 25 years ago, nobody from Sacramento would have even been considered for something like this because there weren't enough planes and flights, and we weren't that important. So the fact that one of our airport people has been elected to an officer's position in a national airport council, an international airport council, I think is pretty cool. It's a sign that we're moving on up just a little bit in the world. Congratulations to Cindy. Who gets cheap flights and upgrades? Guess what? On hotel upgrades, you know, I'm up on high on the Marriott and Hilton tier, but it seems like I never get, you know, like a suite or a corner room or anything. Well, that's because, first of all, there are a lot of people who are high up on that status. But now AI is deciding, looking at your record and where your status is and stuff like that, and deciding who gets the upgrades. This is going to save hotels a lot of time. I look for airlines to start, although airlines already use this on a level. So I'm not surprised that hotels, imagine having somebody have to sit down for 2 hours every afternoon and figure out who of your status people gets the premium rooms. In this way, a machine will just decide it. And you know what the other good thing is? The person at the front desk can then say, hey, I had nothing to do with it. The AI decided it this afternoon. Alaska and Hawaiian Airlines are merging their programs. I think we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. This is going to be really good for people who have status in either one of the programs, either Alaska or Hawaiian. Alaska is expanding their service all over the country. So it's not going to be just Seattle that you can fly out on Alaska anymore. The service on Alaska, what I read and what I hear from people, better than most of the others. So we'll see what happens as they get larger. A survey says most Americans skipped travel insurance this year. 63% have chosen to skip travel insurance altogether. It's interesting because last year that number was 41%. This is done upgraded points, surveyed more than 2,300 U.S. travelers to ask them about how often they purchase travel insurance. And my only comment there is, travel insurance is, especially for international trips and stuff like that, is not inexpensive. But look at what the cancellation rules are and how far out they are. If for a domestic trip, maybe not. But some of my domestic trips, you canceled a week beforehand, there wouldn't be a huge charge. But some of them you canceled a month beforehand, there would still be a big charge. So it's depending on where you're going, where you're staying, what those people's rules are. And that's how it will impact you. So when you're making that decision on insurance, it's not a lightly made decision. You can save yourselves a couple $100 by not taking it sometimes. But oftentimes you're accepting liability for things that are pretty astronomical. So just be a smarter traveler when it comes to insurance. I suppose we should probably do a segment on that someday. And that's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom. And You know, here we are heading up on noon, probably starting to get a little hungry for lunch. Well, you know, dinner's not that much further past that, and there's no better place to grab yourself a great dinner. And right now, you can save a couple of bucks doing it at Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House. For the month of August, they've got prime rib and prawns for $34.95. Generous cut of their famous slow-roasted prime rib, paired with golden fried prawns, baked potato, warm sourdough, French bread, and all that for only $34.95. Available every night and for dinner and every lunches every Tuesday through Friday through the month of August. Now, remember, Rudy's also has a really nice Monday special, if that's the night you'd like to get out. It's only one night a week. They have for $70, dinner for two. You can choose from five different entrees that include lobster, chicken marsala, prime rib, golden fried prawns, and filet bourguignon. All of that for only $70 for the two of you. You can't beat it. And like, do what Mark would do when you're all done. Get yourself some clam chowder. Take it home for lunch tomorrow.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Highway 50 in Hazel and Rancho Cordova, Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House. And be sure to tell them that the travel guy sent you. As the show rolls on, Mark, there's nothing more annoying than a seatmate that falls asleep and eventually falls asleep on you. Or you got another one that has their little, whatever, their phone, and they want to watch a movie or whatever, and they didn't bring their headphones. So you got to enjoy the audio of their movie.
You know, that audio thing without headphones, I would say that is the biggest contention. It's become the biggest thing on our tour coaches when we're out with people. People just don't. Do they forget? Do they not think about it? Are they not being considerate? Yes, would be the answer to all of that. When you are in a public space and you choose to take your phone and listen to something without any sort of headset, why, of course, everybody all around you can hear it. Now, that might be fine if you're in a busy airport and people are just walking by and it's only 2 minutes. But if we're trapped on a plane together and you decide that you want to watch a bunch of risque videos, or you want to watch a movie, or you want to replay the conversation with your grandchild or whatever it is, now everybody, you may not mind all of us being a party to it, but we might mind. So really and truly, the most important thing, if you are thinking about listening to something from a personal device, you've got to bring a headset. And if you didn't bring a headset or earphones or something like that, then the answer is that you cannot do that, because it's not only good form, it's not only bad form, but if you're going to do that, I had this happen on a flight just a few weeks ago. Somebody was listening to something out loud. Somebody behind them asked if they would lower it or turn it off. They wouldn't. They turned it up.
Oh, my.
So they exchanged some words. And now the flight attendant is called, and now you've already got a Nikki situation. If you get us into a situation like that, suggest kindly to the person that's involved that you would appreciate it if they would use their headphones or whatever. If they ignore you, say something nasty, whatever, then the next thing that you do, if this is an issue for you, you do not get into a confrontation with them. You don't have a secondary conversation. You hit the call button. When the flight attendant comes, you explain briefly what the problem is. You let them take care of it.
Right.
However they're going to handle it is the way it's going to be handled. This same thing is going to apply. Somebody falls asleep, you know, and their head ends up over on your shoulder, and now you're like, this is icky, and what am I going to do about this? Gently, you could try to wake the person up and just tell them. If that doesn't work, the call button. And let the flight attendant take care of it. Now, the call button is not for everything. Somebody gets on the plane with some to-go food and it stinks to high heaven. The flight attendant is not going to do anything about that. That's just bad judgment.
I was
going to
ask that. What if they are stinky?
Then what you could do is you could hit the call button and politely ask the flight attendant, or if you were able to do it, the plane was still on the ground and it was appropriate, you could go and ask the flight attendant about that. That happens. I've had it happen to me a couple times on planes, and it's not good. Same thing opposite. Somebody gets on and has a whole lot of perfume on or some kind of fragrance, and it's really overpowering.
Yeah.
There's not the much. They're not going to hose the person down before the plane leaves, I assure you. So you can hit the call button, but the appropriate thing to do there is this, as discreetly as possible, ask if you could be moved. Now, if you've got an aisle seat in Economy Plus and the only thing open on the plane is a middle seat in the back, then you will have to decide how much you don't like that fragrance.
How about somebody who takes their shoes off?
Shoes off.
Can you call
if
them?
It results in any sort of aroma?
Yeah.
Then the flight attendant could be called and ask the person to put their shoes back on. But if it does not result in anything like that, and I'm quoting these to you from flight attendant answers to situations like this.
Right.
If it doesn't result in any kind of aroma or problem, and their feet are not in your space, then nothing's going to be done about it. I can't imagine anybody going barefoot on a plane, especially since you might have to use the restroom. And I assure you that's not water on the floor of the restroom.
Yeah, for sure.
One more quick one here.
Yeah, okay.
Somebody puts their stuff in the space where your overhead stuff should go, you know, above your seat or so to speak.
Right, right.
Forget about that. That's not the flight attendant's issue. Put yourself in this place. It isn't your space. It's shared space. It happens to be over your seat. Somebody's reclining into your space. You can gently ask them if maybe they would consider sitting up, especially if it was a mealtime. Seats don't recline that much these days anyway, so that doesn't happen as often as it used to. But that is something that generally you can handle yourself and that people are generally pretty courteous about. So anyway, that's a few situations, maybe give you a few tips on when or when not to elicit assistance on the airplane.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair, a world of adventure, and we take you there.
Talk about the Sports Leisure flair. Clayton Whitehead from Sports Leisure Vacations will escort a group to New Zealand in January. We talked about this once before. Only New Zealand. We've done New Zealand and Australia together, but this time we decided not to, so we could give more time and more focus on each country. So New Zealand is one of the most beautiful places on the planet. This is a 17-day tour of just New Zealand. It departs on January the 21st. It visits Christchurch, Queenstown, Milford Sound, and many, many, many more places in between. Includes 28 meals, your round-trip airfare from San Francisco. This is a deluxe tour, and it's extended, so it's expensive. It's a little over $12,000 per person, double occupancy. If New Zealand is on your bucket list and your wallet will allow, go to sportsleisure.com, and you can find a link to the New Zealand trip, or you can also find a link at travelguysradio.com, and we'll see you in New Zealand.
Hey there, Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Once again, a link to our special guest today can be found at travelguysradio.com. It's been a little while. Back with us here on the Travel Guys, Charlie Leoka with Travelers United. Thanks for joining us today, Charlie.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
Hey, buddy. It's an interesting time in the travel industry. I don't know when it hasn't been an interesting time, but it's now we work in an industry. Remember in the old days when the airlines tried to make money off of the fares that they charged people? And now we know
right.
that what they charge people. What did I see? American lost like 7 cents a passenger one quarter or something like that off of the basic fares, because all the money is being made on seat assignments, checked bag fees, everything else that they can think of. The business model has really changed a lot since you and I got into this.
It has changed dramatically. And in the last, let's say, 10 years, the whole thing dealing with credit card payments and credit cards has just gone out of sight. And it's just amazing. Right now, if the airlines didn't have any credit cards, they wouldn't make any money. They'd be losing money every single month.
Charlie, you know, the credit card thing may be taking a twist here soon, because I don't know if you've noticed this, but more and more businesses, my dry cleaner this morning, I walked in, he said 3.5% surcharge on credit cards. And we're seeing this, I book groups into restaurants and hotels and attractions and stuff. Restaurants all over the country are adding 3.5-4% to bills and saying, you know, this used to be illegal, but it's not anymore. And as long as they post it properly. And I think what you're going to see is these credit cards that have all these great bonuses and stuff on it are costing the merchants so much money in the interchange fees that what the merchants are now saying is, okay, this is fine. You get all these bonuses from your credit card. We're going to charge you 4% to use it. So now are you getting 4% worth back from that credit card? My suggestion would be probably not. And
probably not.
Charlie, what happens if people start saying, well, Jesus, if you're going to charge me 4% to use this, I'm just not going to use this anymore. I'll buy my airline ticket with it, but I'm not going to use it for anything else. And suddenly the airlines will be out a huge source of revenue or some part of it.
Well, they will be out a lot of revenue. But, you know, the way that they've got everything set up is that you can't buy your airline ticket without paying the fees. And you can't pay the fees in cash. And so you're kind of stuck. And so, you know, when they start talking about the extra charges and the fees, which they add onto the amount of money, that becomes a big question. And the other thing is most of the fees are not even taxed at all. The only thing taxed is the actual transportation. And that's where the rules are all set. Dealing with the actual transportation.
Airlines for America, the airlines lobbying group, is doing their job fairly well. And we have Charlie on our side and his little team, and every once in a while, by God, they pull off a major upset. Charlie, let's talk about a couple of things that you guys are working on to try to make life a little better for travelers. I see this comes from an article posted on Travelers United, what airline passenger changes might look like in 4 years. And you said one of the things that you'd like to see happen is posters and videos to tell passengers their rights and compensation at the airport.
How about that idea?
That's a good idea, and it's something which we've worked on now for about 14 years. And finally, we got this into the latest FAA bill, and they just said there will be posters and videos to tell passengers their rights and compensation at the airports. And that's all it says. It doesn't say who's going to make the posters, doesn't give any money for the posters, and so on. I said, look, I can give you the posters for free if you just tell me. And that way I'll get someone like Visa or MasterCard to say, oh, they'll put, you know, just for their name at the bottom of the poster,
sure,
they'll give
sure.
us all the posters for free. But they won't even hear that.
Wow.
So
wow.
We're still waiting.
Tom, I ask you, you're Tom's kind of our man on the street. you know, the average traveler, wouldn't that be something that seems like a no-brainer to you to tell people what, you know, if A, B, or C happens, here's what your rights are?
Yeah, it would be. But the thing is the fact that it has been held back and it has never existed is a point that you just don't even look for it. You don't even think about it. The casual traveler particularly, maybe those that have traveled to other countries where they've seen this in place. But it's something that I would love to be able to access and see right in the airport.
But 98 times out of 100, you wouldn't need it. But
yes.
By God, on the time that you needed it, wouldn't it be awesome to have something posted in the airport that you could say to the airline, look, you know, don't give me the runaround. I can see right here that in this situation, here's what you have to do. Plus, if it was posted, the reason they don't want it posted in the airport, Charlie, don't you think, is because then there's no getting around it. When push comes to shove, it's right there in writing of what needs to be done.
Right. But on the other hand, the airlines also save money by not having all the time that they have to explain these things to everybody. And so what I do is, when I speak about this, I try to take the side of the consumer, and I say, hey, guys, look, you are going to actually save money by coming in with these kind of setups. In Europe, if you go to in Spain, they've got the right above the where the baggage carousels are. They've got these big posters which are say, you have rights. And what they did is they've gotten away from the saying, you've got rights and these are the rights, where they just say, you have rights, check on it. You know, you get compensation if the bags aren't there. you get money if you get bumped off of a flight and so on.
Would you be okay with something? Would you be okay with something like that?
Oh yeah, I'm okay with that. And as long as it says that you have rights, and they let them know, because people don't even know what their rights are. That's the problem.
We're talking with Charlie Leoka from Travelers United, which is arguably the best consumer advocacy group for travelers in the country. Charlie has there are ways that you can become a member at Travelers United. You can also access a lot of their information for free. I would strongly suggest if you go to travelguysradio.com, there is a link to Charlie's site, and you will become a smarter traveler just if you go there. I mean, you can become a smarter traveler on their website by accident. There is so much good information laid out in language that you will understand. Charlie, before I let you go here, I want to talk about one other thing that you're trying to make happen, and that is uniform credit rules for all airlines. In other words, if United issued you a credit for something or American issued a credit, we would know that there was a rule that credit had to be valid for at least a particular amount of time, and that there were rules. Is that a good description of what you're trying to do?
Right. What we're trying to do is we're trying to get one set of rules so that the rules that you follow are the same for all the airlines. And we still don't have that. If you deal with United, or you deal with Delta, or you deal with American, or you deal with Southwest, they all got different rules. And therefore, you're stuck. And you have to know these things. And if you don't know them, you don't know if they've got different rules and you don't have a chance to look it up, then you've got a real problem.
Charlie, let me ask you one more thing, just an opinion here before we go. Southwest Airlines is in the process of making some major changes to the way that they do business, which is going to pretty much line them up with everybody else. They're going to lose what made them unique, but there are lots of people with statistics in hand that say, you know, this airline will never be more profitable without it. What do you think happens here? Will Southwest just fall in with the rest of them? Will they back off of some of this stuff? Give me your thoughts.
I think that for seat reservations and so on, I think that those are going to stay. For what I basically feel myself personally is that in the future, after the Elliott people are gone, and the people pushing the changes at the board levels, I think that a lot of the free baggage is going to come back. And if they don't come back with all of the free baggage, I think they'll come back with half of the free baggage, because that really was a basic change which Southwest made. And in that change, that's what made them different. That's what made them special. And that's why a lot of people flew on Southwest.
All right, Charlie, I think a lot of people feel the same way. You know, I fly Southwest exclusively. I am trying to adjust to the changes. See a lot of new ads and a lot of people jumping up in the air and going, oh, yay, I get to pick my seat.
Yeah, you're getting screwed is what's going to happen. This is not good news. No matter how many people jump up and down on TV, Tom, the bottom line is it's not good news for travel.
Yeah, well, it's marketing. It's marketing.
It really isn't.
Yeah.
The minute they start smashing watermelons on the ground, then I go, oh, we're rather troubled now.
Well, we're all a bunch
it's not working.
We're all just a bunch of sheep and cows making our way through the slaughterhouse a lot of times, what it looks like when you enter an airport. The only thing that's missing is the bang and the mooing, but otherwise it's pretty much the same. All right.
Well, it's about that way.
There you go. Thanks again, Charlie, for joining us. Don't forget now a link to Charlie and all the great work that he does and so much more is at travelguysradio.com. Okay, Mark, as we promoted a little earlier, we're in this final segment. We're going to, you know, talk a little bit about car rentals and prices and so forth.
Yeah.
You know, just the tease in itself made me concerned that one of the things that I thought that was going on, that companies are supposed to reveal the full price at the beginning of the page, first page, and then, you know, I know a lot of times it'll say tax is not included. but it'll have the rest. Let's talk about what you're interested in here.
Well, I rented a car for 3 days at my destination, and the confirmation said, Mr. Hoffman, the cost of your car rental is $425.31. When we got done with the bill, the cost of the car rental was $506.36, and it's important to note that I got a 10% discount off that original number. So actually, the price I was being quoted was about $383, and I ended up paying $506.
And where were the hidden fees hiding?
Taxes and fees. Vehicle rental tax for the destination, 2%. City tax for the destination, 2%. Vehicle rental tax for the destination. This is the one I flew into, 2%. Remember, this was a mystery tour. That's why I'm not telling you where I went. PTA fee. I don't know what a PTA fee is, but that was $2 a day. State tax, 6%. So you've got 2, 4, 6, 12% in taxes plus $2 a day. Customer facility charge. Customer
what
facility
the heck
charge.
Is that?
So, well, we had to build a building, and we have to have property and stuff to park the cars on, and so obviously you have to pay for that. You would think that that would be part of the rental cost. But no, it's a customer facility fee. Why? Because that's taxed differently, that revenue. So it's advantageous to the rental car company to split it out. And then, of course, we have the concession recovery fee, which is what we pay the airport for the privilege of doing business here, which in this case is 11.11%. So in actuality, my car rental cost was increased by almost a third, almost 30%, over what the car rental company quoted me in the first place. And to your point, and to be fair, it did say plus fees and taxes, just didn't identify exactly what those were. So it would have been difficult to compare pricing from one rental car company to another. So I just, buyer beware, just want you to be wise that when you're renting a car, make sure that you look at the bottom line if you're price comparing, because it's likely that the bottom line is very different from the top line.
Wow, that's amazing. And then of course, when you return the car, they ran it through the AI scanner, and it had all those dents.
I don't rent from that company anymore.
That's right, you don't.
That company shall remain nameless, Hertz. And we don't talk about them on the program anymore because they are not honest people. They don't do business honestly. And I did business with them for a long time until I got screwed a couple times. And then I said, you know, a couple times is enough. And they're just not good. The Hertz system is designed to nickel and dime the people who rent from them. So I don't recommend them.
So with what you just shared with us in regards to your last rental experience, moving forward, when you get ready to do a rental, what will you do differently?
I am going to open that confirmation, the attachment to the confirmation, which is going to show me all of these split out charges. So it's not that the rental car company is being completely dishonest, but it's just that they don't want you to be able to compare pricing. And of course, if another company is being honest, then their price is going to look a lot higher than the price that I got quoted here. So it's in everybody's best interest to stay on the same plane and not quote those taxes and fees, which you would think would be about the same with every company, but not so much. So it's just, you know, it's just a heads up. Just beware that car rental pricing and stuff like that may not be what it pretends to be. All right, here's a couple of more of lighter subjects. Mm-hmm. This is about trains. A rail company is proposing a new privately funded train route that begin transporting people between Los Angeles and New York City in less than 72 hours as soon as next year. How in the world? The project has been presented to the National Railroad Passenger Corps. Okay. This company is going to use existing tracks.
And put on a high-speed train.
Well, yeah, except kinda. That I would say... However, Amtrak spokesperson Beth Toll said in a statement that the company has reviewed Ameristar Rail's letter and determined that it is lacking a fundamental business case to support its lofty proposal. Mm-hmm. In other words, on your idea. sorry about that. The Amtrak, however, is working on extending routes across the country so that instead of getting on a train in Philadelphia and having to get on and off in St. Louis to get on another train, maybe that train goes all the way across the country or at least further across the country. So there wouldn't be as many changes. But anyway, if you read something about the new rail train that's going to go across the country, don't hold your breath. Amtrak is introducing later this month its new next generation of Acela trains. They're pretty excited about this. They hit the rails on August the 28th on five routes around the country. Let's see if the California Zephyr is one of them.
What did you call it?
It's Acela trains.
Acela trains.
A-C-E-L-A. That's what was introduced by Amtrak about, I'd say, about 25, 30 years ago. This is another upgrade, some major upgrades for folks. So, you know, train cars tend to have, you know, not enough plugs and things like that and restrooms that are kind of wonky. So this is something that should make traveling by train just a little bit more pleasant for a lot of people. Okay, one more item here. Let's see for odds and ends today. The headline is why your TSA experience at the airport is about to get worse. I've told you many times in this program that there is a lobbying group for the airlines called Airlines for America. So anytime you see that Airlines for America is in favor of something, it generally means it's not good for consumers. This might be the exception. And this might be the only time I've ever lined up with Airlines for America on a political side. But this article says why your TSA experience at the airport is about to get worse because what is happening here is that lawmakers in Washington are thinking about passing a law so they can't do digital screening of people at airports. I don't know how you feel about digital screening, but I will tell you that it is dramatically speeded up the screening process. If you lose that, everybody who's involved in it says it will dramatically slow down the screening process. Even the airlines are opposed to it. So this is pretty rare that something like this happens. But lawmakers say yes. Airlines say maybe not so much. That if you enjoy the fact that you don't have to wait an hour, you know, if you think 20 minutes in a line is long, what if it were 40 minutes? So this is there can be a lot of discussion whether or not digital screening and stuff is good, bad, or otherwise, and how those things are kept and all of that jazz. But the reality is that it is a way that gets people through the line a lot faster. So the airlines have all come out and said baloney on this. Airlines for America has said baloney for this. I guess the travel guy would come out and say baloney on it also. I don't think that there's any possibility this is going to work out well for consumers. And I think the lawmakers will back off once the airlines get in their face a little bit more about it.
All right, coming towards the end of another Travel Guys radio program. We've enjoyed being here. We'll be back next Saturday, same time, 11 a.m. Don't forget, you can find our podcasts at travelguysradio.com, also on iHeartRadio.
And in the meantime, till we see you next week, dance like nobody's watching.